Hello, hello, and welcome back to Unceded Airwaves. My name is Sage. I am of Cree and European ancestry. I've been part of Unceded Airwaves this semester, so I hope you're familiar with my voice. But tonight I'm joined with a guest, Carmela. Hi.
Hello.
Who are you?
Tanse. My name is Carmela. I'm Afro-Indigenous. On my mom's side, our people come from Brazil and came back to Africa through the slave trade. And on my dad's side, we're Mistawasis Cree. And I'm here representing Indigenous Brilliance. And we're here to share our first podcast episode with you tonight.
So exciting. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, we're so excited. Also, I should mention I was just playing Soft Stud by Black Belt Eagle Scout, who's coming tomorrow night to play at Fortune SoundCloud. And we have some tickets to give away. We have been doing some social media giveaways. So anyone who's entered so far, so now is the cutoff for entering, but anyone who has entered so far, we'll reach out with information as to if you are on our list. But we're so excited to jam out to Soft Stud and other jams by Black Belt Eagle Scout tomorrow night. But we're going to hear more about what Indigenous Brilliance is. So, Carmel, I'll let you maybe talk about what Indigenous Brilliance is, and then we'll get to the podcast.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to give a very brief introduction because the podcast does talk about it kind of in length, but Indigenous Brilliance is a collective partnered with Room Magazine and Massey Books, and we're a group of Indigenous people, female identifying, two-spirit, Indigiqueer folks. The history of Indigenous Brilliance is kind of complex, but it's grown over the past couple of years, and the podcast episode that we're sharing tonight is designed to kind of share the story of how Indigenous Brilliance became what it is today, and to honor the history of it, to honor the voices of the people who kind of founded the collective, and to talk about why it's important to have a collective like this and a group like this in the city. So yeah, I don't want to repeat myself too much because I hear a lot of my voice on the podcast, so I'm like trying not to talk too much.
Sweet. Well, yeah. I'm really excited to hear about it. And I know it's probably going to be super informative and give a lot of good context to a lot of the events that go on in Vancouver that are focused on Indigenous art and voices, have you guys behind it. So I'm excited to give some space for that.
Yes.
So without further ado, I think we're going to play the episode and then we'll get a chance to talk about it maybe after.
Yeah, for sure.
Sweet. Okay, so here it is, the first episode of hopefully many.
Yes.
of the Indigenous Brilliance podcast. Okay, well, I don't know why it's not playing, so I'm just going to talk until I figure it out.
It's a very dramatic pause. It's
such a dramatic pause. Really, just dead air. Okay. And it's just going to start playing out of nowhere. I know it. Okay, well, Carmela, how has your day been?
My day has been pretty good. Anytime I come out to UBC, it's like both exciting and stressful. This campus is huge, so I get lost every time.
It is a bit daunting. Okay, I hear the whistles. Here we go. Okay, so take two. Nothing like a second shot. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to the Indigenous Renaissance.
Yes.
Bah, bah, bah. Annie Bujou, my name is Jay Simpson.
Tansi, I'm Carmela Benedito de Barros. We are your co-hosts for this podcast, a new initiative to the ever-growing Indigenous Brilliance reading series. The first episode is brought to you in partnership with CITR's Unceded Airways.
Indigenous Brilliance is a quarterly reading series hosted at Massey Books in partnership with Rim Magazine and Massey Books, organized by a collective made up of Patricia Massey, Jessica Johns, Emily Dentis Oak, Carmela Benedito de Barros, and myself, Jay Simpson. Indigenous Brilliance, Massey Books, and Rim Magazine acknowledge that we operate and exist on the unceded, therefore unsurrendered territories of the Humusquam, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Squamish Nations.
It is important to reflect on how we choose to organize and act on these territories, especially as folks who are Indigenous but do not belong to the host nations. It is also important to locate oneself within community.
My name is Carmela. I was born and raised in foster care on unceded Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, and Musqueam territories. I am an Afro-Indigenous Nehiyaw. My mom comes from Brazil, linking back to Africa through the slave trade. And on my dad's side, we are Mistawasis Cree.
As a young inner-city Afro-Indigenous person, I have focused much of my work on uplifting my community through the arts and my education at Simon Fraser University. I'm currently studying psychology and counseling therapy at SFU with hopes of applying techniques of psychotherapy to grassroots traditional healing practices and artistic expression in the community. Most of my work is focused on supporting Indigenous youth, and I hope to continue working with young people to uplift and support them on their healing journeys. As an assistant with the Indigenous Brilliance Collective, I am supporting my kin and community in creating opportunities to honor and witness each other's brilliance collectively. I believe this is important healing work, and I'm super excited to see how this process unfolds.
My name is Jay, and I was also born and raised as a youth in care on these territories. And my experiences as a queer, trans, Indigenous youth in care is what brought me to use my voice, stories, and gifts to bring myself and my kin upwards. It's always been important to locate myself as an OG Cree Soto mixed Indigenous person with settler ancestry with the French and Scottish. My pronouns are also they and them. I was initially invited into Indigenous Brilliance as a host for the reading series. I had loved the work that Patricia, Yonina, and Jess were doing with the reading series and was totally and extremely excited to be invited to do more work alongside them. I think collectively Indigenous Brilliance role models what community care and capacity is, especially with inviting other talented folks into the collective. It's been an exciting run, and maybe it's a little funny, but I'm officially taking a smaller role in Indigenous Brilliance for the foreseeable future to focus on some personal artistic pursuits and feel hopeful knowing that those taken on the torch are beyond brilliant. Don't worry, though. You'll still hear my voice as I am still going to co-host this new podcast alongside Carmela.
But you'll still be co-hosting the reading series from time to time?
You know me. I love that spotlight.
Real humble, that one. We want to dive into a little more about our history as a collective and how we've come to be. We've spoken to our collective to bring you the creation story of Indigenous Brilliance.
We're saying collective a lot. Collective.
Collective.
Collective. Collective. Are we a collective?
Collectively, we are a collective.
Because we collectively get together and plan.
It's called
what
collective
this is.
Community.
Yeah.
Collective kinship.
Yeah.
Collective brilliance.
Collective Indigenous futurisms.
yeah.
As a collective, and what's been done thus far, Indigenous Brilliance has really been a conduit for Indigenous futurisms, having inspired other bookstores and literary agencies to further invest in Indigenous peoples of Turtle Island. We are seeing a rise in Indigenous literature across many platforms. Mm-hmm. Justin Ducharme creating film. Jade Baxter also doing film. We're seeing Edzi U and Jody Akabe create beautiful, beautiful music. We are seeing what Jeremy Dutcher said at the Polaris Awards. Welcome to the Indigenous Brilliance. Fuck. Shit.
Welcome to the fucking Indigenous Brilliance.
Wop, 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 air horn noises.
To paraphrase.
One of the amazing things that Indigenous Brilliance has really been on the front of has been about uplifting and prioritizing Indigenous Brilliance throughout many medias and platforms. We've had Bo Dip as a Drake performer perform at Massey Books. We've had musicians. We've had you, Carmela, singing sweet, sweet, sweet nothings to us. We've had poetry. We've had performance art. We've seen films at Indigenous Brilliance. This is much more than a reading series now, and I really believe Indigenous Brilliance is going to be moving on to some very new and exciting things. Like this podcast, we're going to be able to bring you past recordings and past readers onto it. We're going to be talking to you about some of the hot hit gossip that's going around. Welcome to Nucci Radio.
Love it.
Indigenous Brilliance has always been about our capacity and ability to tell our own stories in beautiful and breathtaking ways. CanLit needs to watch out because Jeremy Dutcher said at his Polaris acceptance in 2018, "Welcome to the Indigenous Renaissance."
Hi, my name is Yonina Curtin. I'm a Métis Icelandic poet from Territory 1, Manitoba, born in Portage la Prairie.
Awesome.
Late blooming writer.
We're excited to have you here. So I guess we were hoping to start with kind of hearing about your history with Indigenous Brilliance, since you were one of the founding members. So we kind of wanted to hear your story about how you got involved and how it started.
Yes. Sometimes I feel like I receive a little bit too much credit for the beginning, because all that really happened was I was reading at Word, and I understood from the papers that I'd gotten from Word that Patricia from Massey Books had actually made a donation so that an Indigenous writer could read.
Okay.
And so I was quite honored by that. I thought that was really lovely. I'd never met Patricia. And she was at the reading. And she came up to me after the reading, and it was really touching. Our very first meeting, our very first conversation was beautiful. She's such a gentle soul, and I was feeling kind of fragile at the time. And she expressed to me her interest in starting what she called a woman's reading, Indigenous reading series, and asked me if I was interested in helping out or reading either way. And I right away thought this was a fantastic idea. And I was still healing myself, so I knew that I couldn't do much. So I suggested that Room Magazine look at partnering with her. And so the first meeting that we had was with Jessica Johns, Megan Bell, and Shalene Knight, and Patricia. And by then, Jessica Johns had already come up with the name, Indigenous Brilliance, because we hadn't even yet thought of a name for the series when I was talking with Patricia. And I was sort of thinking, I had another name in mind. I cannot even remember what it was. It's been erased from my memory. And as the time went on, I began to see the brilliance of the title, Indigenous Brilliance. Mm-hmm. And I understand that it came from another writer. Suddenly I'm having trouble thinking. Was it Leanne Simpson?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And she had talked about Indigenous writers' brilliance. And so the name was inspired by that. So we were off and running, and we had our first launch at Growing Room. And what became, it just over time morphed into more spreading out. Jessica had such a vision for bringing in more than just writers, for extending it beyond just women, which I'm 100% in favor of. And that was, and Room was as well. Mm-hmm. And so it became something much bigger than the original vision.
Yeah.
Through many people, many hands.
Yeah, so I'm curious to hear what you're working on now.
I've been working on a book, and it's called For All That Was Never Said. And it's really sort of a woman who's at this age, 65, looking back at all my regrets, the things I wish I had said and done differently. So there's that and other things throughout life where you, over time you learn. I feel less angry, less harsh towards certain things and certain people. Mm-hmm. For a time, I was quite angry. So the book is about that, about how do we do that without forcing it,
What are some big teachings and takeaways that you've learned through your time with Indigenous Brilliance?
Oh, wow. Well, I've learned I don't know everything, but I learned that over and over again. You know, it's interesting being my age, and I learn a lot from young people. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's talk about, okay, boomers and millennials and all of that stuff. I got okay boomered recently and I kind of deserved it. I stepped into something I shouldn't have, but I didn't understand what I was stepping into. Mm-hmm. And so for me, learning these things, I'm so grateful to the young people mm-hmm. who are teaching me all the time, including Jay. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm finding is that I've spent years of my life in social justice in another form, in with women's issues, mm-hmm. as a mother, as a single mother, as a low-income single mother, as a woman in recovery, and all of that. But I really had a limited view in a way. Mm-hmm. And so being a writer, I've had to expand that view, and I've been really grateful. So Indigenous Brilliance, they tick all the boxes. Mm-hmm. So it's like a master class in learning.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you got okay boomer.
Yeah. Like the humility though, like that is modeling
so
excellence.
Humble, so humble. We love a humble queen. You've been a big auntie to a lot of people. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share or say with our time here?
Well, I brought the poem I wrote last night.
Oh my gosh. Yes, oh my gosh.
It's a rough draft, but it brought something forward. And this is the beauty of being together. So born of water, meant to float, I sink until I rise to the big sky songs of my people. Traveling rivers, strong arms paddling, one stroke every minute. My ancestors' canoes carried them north, where a daughter is born, the mixing of blood. Continued until I, born of water, give thanks, hold my hands to the big sky rolling back west, I kneel before the mountains. Sit by an ocean of words, floating me to the top of a world I do not understand. My place uncertain until I, born of water, dip hands in an ocean of words and the songs of the Métis voyageurs paddling one stroke a minute. Their strong arms carry me, carry us to our mother. It makes sense when you think, too, of Louis Riel saying, my people will sleep for 100 years, mm-hmm. and it'll be the artists that will wake them up. Mm-hmm. So it's the artists that bring beauty. So not everything we do is beautiful. I mean, obviously, we write very traumatic stories. But for me, what I love is when I can turn a sad, grief-ridden story into a thing of beauty. Yeah. Then it becomes something beautiful, and it's also helped me heal. I think I've received a lot of healing from writing. So I believe that we're going to shift into even more of visioning for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we want, not what don't we like? And we need to do both. You have to do the what we don't like, what has happened, what has been hard, and then what do we want now? Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to dream a new future for myself and for all of us.
All I want is to make this a future they would recognize. Make my face a face Kokum would hold in her soft hands and say, hello. I've been waiting to see you my whole life. Jessica Johns.
Hello. With me right now is Jessica Johns. Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, it's so good to see your face. You're so cute.
Oh, stop.
So, welcome to the Indigenous Brilliance podcast.
I'm so excited finally. To be here.
Do you remember when I first suggested it?
<When was this? laughs>
Over a year ago.
Okay. Yeah.
And Jessica said, big dream.
Oh.
maybe not.
I was like, let's focus on what we're doing currently.
The realistic auntie.
I'm the realistic auntie. Yeah. And Jay was like, but what about these things?
Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful we waited.
Yay. Yeah. Yeah. We definitely, there's more capacity now, which is what we needed in the end.
This podcast episode is all about capacity and boundaries, apparently.
Truth.
So, Jessica, tell me, how did you get involved with Indigenous Brilliance? Like, what's the story? What's the history? What's the sitch?
What's the scoop? Okay, well, so my name is Jessica Johns, otherwise known as Jessica B. Johns. my alter ego online persona.
I don't know her.
Whenever I want to tweet something shady, Jessica B. Johns comes out.
Love it.
I am Nehiyaw Cree on my mom's side and English Irish on my dad's, and a member of Sucker Creek First Nation, which is in Treaty 8 territory in northern Alberta. I have been living here for 3 years now, and I got involved with Indigenous Brilliance about a year after I moved here. It all started. I was a room collective member, so I was kind of just doing small editorial stuff for the magazine and just volunteering in that way. And Yonina Curtin was also an editorial member at the time. And she had been having discussions with Patricia Massey about, they didn't really know, I guess, what it was going to be yet, but they were talking about starting some sort of Indigenous reading series. Mm-hmm. And when that conversation started, immediately Yonina was like, and Megan, they were like, let's bring in Jessica, like, see if she's interested. And I was talking to some of my friends and I had said out loud, I want to be doing more. Because I was at UBC at the time, so mm-hmm. I felt like I was in these institutions and organizations that were very just like white-centered. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I really want to be more involved in the community here. Like, I just feel like, as somebody who is not on my territory, how am I contributing? What is my role here? And like, what does that look like when all I'm doing is sort of like taking? I was just taking resources. Mm-hmm. And so once we had that initial conversation and I was like, I'm in, what do I do? Give me spreadsheets. Yes. I want to organize. At the time, I had the most capacity out of everyone. So mm-hmm. We had a meeting where I met Patricia for the first time. And, she runs and owns a bookstore, so she's busy. And Yonina at the time as well, she brought so much like love and light and ideas to the forefront, mm-hmm. but also her capacity was lowered. And I was like, I will put away everything. Like, let's do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had a deeper discussion about what we wanted it to look like. We wanted to focus on Indigenous women and Two-Spirit non-binary folks. And at first we were like, let's do this monthly. And it was like immediately like, that is not going to happen. Mm, like our capacity and like, how is this going to be? So that from that initial conversation, then I was like, all right, I'm going to just organize. And that's just how it began. The reading series and just Indigenous Brilliance in general, it was never going to be something that I was just like, I will be the main organizer of this. And, it was never going to continue working that way. I think at first when I had the capacity to, and I was like, I can reach out and I can mm-hmm. do this stuff. That was never sustainable, never going to be sustainable. And expanding it into more of a collective almost accidentally, mm-hmm. when Yonina had to step back and we asked Jay to be a part of it, I didn't want to do it alone. Like, I didn't feel like it was something that should be held alone. Yeah. And I think as well, it was like really important if we're going to be talking about, trans Indigenous women experiences and Two-Spirit experiences, that like two cis women shouldn't be at the head of that anyways. Mm-hmm. So you know, that felt very organically started. And then we just kept thinking about capacity and we kept thinking about sustainability and like what that looks like. And it was never going to work with just like one person at the head doing all the stuff. It was always going to be something that needed to be collaboration. How it originally started with me just being like, I have the ability and I'll just, let me just kind of, you know, spearhead this or something, was just that was, that's not how this is going to be run. Mm-hmm. And that was a big teaching in that, of course, it was never going to work any other way. So it was a good reminder of that. And also it was one of the best changes because we wouldn't be doing this right now. We wouldn't be talking about chapbooks. We wouldn't be doing chapbooks. We wouldn't, might not even be doing any more readings if we hadn't have thought about how is this going to continue into the future and how are we going to organize together.
I feel like you've touched on so much because you're just one of the greatest people in the whole wide world.
Get out of here.
Maybe this is like a fun little question. Is there any ways that you feel like Indigenous Brilliance has a metaphor within kombucha?
Oh my God. So many. And you know I've thought about this before.
Let's talk about it.
Well, kombucha's made... No, I'm just kidding.
Your Instagram story, everyone was screenshotting.
Well, I mean, honestly, the entire process of collaboration is a huge metaphor for it. You know, it is made from symbiotic and collaborative relationships. It's made through reciprocity. Like, that's how it exists. That's how it multiplies itself. And I feel like that's what we've been doing. We've been in this process of collaboration and reciprocity with each other, and also like a revisiting, like you have to tend to your kombucha, like even if you're not making it. And that's been a lot of what we've been doing. We've had to revisit everything that we've, every step we've made. We're like, what does this look like now, and how do we possibly make this better or more generative? How are we going to feed ourselves? Like, how are we going to be thriving here? And what are we doing for the people around us? And I think that revisitation has been really necessary, and that's something that kombucha needs as well.
I feel like we've talked a lot of growth and collective agreements and capacity. Could you tell us about the famed all-day Indigenous Brilliance event last year?
Oh my God. Yeah, sure. We had four events. It was a full day. Four full events. We had an Indigenous marketplace with, you know, Indigenous vendors. And it was just transformative. It was so amazing. All the feedback that I've had from it have just been people like, this was such a fantastic day. Like, not like, oh, this one event was really great, but like, this day was amazing. This year, we're doing exactly all the things that we said we were going to do. We have one less, it's still all day, and it's still fabulous and amazing, but there's one less event, and we're not hosting everything, and, you know.
It's the first time we will not be hosting.
Yeah, but like, how wonderful that like, other people who we've had on, and people who we haven't had on Indigenous Brilliance yet, get to hold that space and have that opportunity. Hosting Indigenous Brilliance has been one of the most amazing things I feel like I've got to do here.
Kokum is so metal. For the Kokums, Mary Jane Cardinal, Eileen Smith, and Loretta Johns, by Jessica Johns. Kokum is so metal. She's newer than new meta. She's post-metal like Evanescence, but brown and with a braid. Then curly hair, then bleached white pixie cut, setting fire to her long line of loud women. I wasn't loud when she did this, but I'm learning to be. Kookum is so metal she doesn't want to be called Kookum, but goddess instead. because that's self-determination. So a WAS, she also lives up and down, not backwards and forwards, flying through now, tomorrow, and yesterday with a telephone to her ear and laughter louder than a Gibson Flying V. When the white doctor at the walk-in clinic tells me anxiety is just nervousness repackaged, intergenerational what? I can see Cookham there, all teeth and smoke, using his dimple chin as an ashtray, while she knits a noose, then sells his head for cheap at the craft show. And did you know that crabs will rip off their own claws if injured? They'll maim themselves to survive, because nature is metal too, so metal like Cookham. Cookham is so metal she'll visit you in your dreams just to say what's up. Not to pass a message or perform your expectation, she'll just wave her wooden spoon and leave you with a cackle. Cookham is so metal her band is better than yours. Her groupies too. Everyone with her jeans, her metal inside them, spills out from the funeral hall, the kitchen, the rooftop, touches time and space like sound vibrating in a tin can. But the can is the world, you see. Don't you get it? Don't you get how metal Cookham is? Cookham is so metal at 90 years old, 52, 45, Cookham after Cookham after Cookham. Nothing but bones and drums, Cookham. Everything with drums and bones.
I listened to a podcast called Not Another D&D Podcast. I don't play
D&D. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Like D&D Podcast?
Oh, yeah.
They're enthralling.
Really? And it's so... I've literally been listening to it since the summer, awesome. And it's the only podcast I listen to now.
Really?
Well, because I've been so immersed in, growing room planning and room stuff. Mm-hmm. When I have my downtime, I want to be taken somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be thinking about...
Canlit.
Fair. I don't want to be thinking about, even just anything serious. I listen to a lot of really wonderful podcasts that are, so informative and, these critical discussions. And I'm I just can't.
Yeah. You need laughter. You need, a fantasy.
Yes. I just want to talk about, this crick elf who is... going into a rage and just getting her possum to attack people. That's what I want to listen to. Yes. So I've not been listening to anything. And it's funny because I've never played D&D in my life and I love this podcast. And I've learned how to play through listening to it.
Oh my God.
So...
Hit us up if you have a quest or
hit us up if you're a great DM and let's get a
non-problematic DM.
DM. You don't have to, preferable if you're Indigenous, but you don't have to be. Just don't be shitty.
Don't be, exactly. Yeah.
This whole podcasting series is about futurism and I think for myself being able to see people, Indigenous people and Black people, being nerds and being into tech and being able to imagine alternate realities for ourselves. And you're saying, that escapism is necessary when we're living in a world that is consistently pretty traumatic.
Yes.
To be able to just go somewhere else and do that in community, through playing games, online or board games. I think that that's so important.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, I think I felt a little bit of shame for a little while talking about escapism or admitting I don't want to deal with this all the time. I took a break from social media for a while when I first got my job at the managing editor of Room because I was really overwhelmed with that responsibility and it just felt too much all the time. Just everything.
Yeah.
Again, the everyday traumas of just you know? So just doing that and just being like, I just need to not for a while.
Yeah.
I felt a lot of shame around that, I think. And
I think that's designed because they portray us in a narrative of like angry or serious Indigenous person all the time.
Mm.
And they don't think we contain multitudes.
Yeah.
So that shame is totally designed.
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes we need to fucking rest.
Yes.
And that's okay.
We need to cry.
Yeah. And I just, even like, I just need to zone out and watch a shitty TV show.
The Witcher. Like, I just need to binge watch for 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Fair. And to be modeling, I think, for our community that it's okay to do that is really important. And
totally.
That kind of like comes back to, I think, the values that are at the foundation of this collective. Mm-hmm. Modeling, taking space, and like giving ourselves and therefore everyone else permission to do what we need to do to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even like having this conversation is reaffirming this teaching that we share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Well, thank you for saying that. Because even as I was talking about really needing to do that, I wasn't putting words to the fact that like you need to take that time for yourself. I was just like, oh no, sometimes I just need to nerd out and listen to this podcast for hours, and it's like, oh, this is what it is.
And we need
you
to
need
hear
to
that.
Rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers
so,
to being nerds.
Cheers to being nerds.
Yeah, I'm out of a drink, but yes.
I just want to talk a little bit just in terms of how things have like changed and in a really great way. Something else that I feel like the change within the reading series was that it became very, very quickly, we were like, this is about more than just writers. Mm-hmm. Like, this is about brilliance in all its forms, Indigenous brilliance in all its forms. So storytelling as it exists through film and as it exists through spoken word and performance and art. And I feel like we've really been leaning into that because, I mean, we all know it as a fact, yes, but also, like, at first, we didn't necessarily name that. And so it's really exciting to me that every single event has featured more than just like Indigenous folks, the brilliant Indigenous folks who write books, and that's wonderful, but also more and other, you know, varied kinds of storytelling.
Yeah.
The accountability process that we've had within our collective, but also with our artists, where inevitably in CanLit, something will happen and something is going to happen as marginalized people in a predominantly white scene. We're going to be targeted. And there have been times where we have experienced that. And the process of like having our collective conversations has spoken loudly in our practice. Like it's gotten around where people are like, okay, like I can go here and know that the people who are organizing it will fight for me.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you, Emily?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. wow. It's been quite a journey for us, hasn't it, Emily?
I think we're at our, like, 1 year of Indigenous Brilliance. We go way, way back from there.
It's been a little bit more than a year, but yes, like, our big event anniversary is coming up at Groin Room. So what... What is your creation story with Indigenous Brilliance? How did you get involved?
Sorry, just to rewind a second, can you introduce yourself?
Oh my god!
Who are you? Where
don't
you from?
Know?
What's your story?
I don't think introductions are necessary.
People know.
Do you know who Emily Dundas Oak is?
Tanse, I'm Emily. I'm one of the organizers and collaborators on Indigenous Brilliance. I've been living in this city for about a year and a half. I'm Nihiao, Michif, Cree, Métis, Scottish, and English. Yeah, I just do things in the arts. That's kind of my thing.
Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Indigenous Brilliance, a reading series as a visual artist and curator? What's been that journey?
I would say it was totally serendipity because I'm fortunate enough to know Jay from before both of us moved to Unceded, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territories, and we know each other from our time living in Shirkwet-Makulu. And I'd been in Vancouver for like half a year, and I was working a serving job one day, and I've collaborated with Jay on projects before, and I was like, man, I haven't done anything with Jay in a really long time. I should see what Jay's up to. And that evening, I got a text from Jay being like, yo, I need your help with something. And I was like, okay, I'm down. And then, of course, because I think as we've kind of talked about already with like capacity and how much that figures into Indigenous Brilliance, I didn't hear from Jay for a little bit because I think Growing Room stuff was just in full swing. And then they reached out and were like, yo, do you want to be an assistant on in this collective towards Growing Room 2019? And I was like, that is so wonderful. And as someone who's new here, to be like welcome into not only a community that is just there to like support Indigenous creativity and resurgence, but is like spearheaded by Indigenous responsiveness and care. It was just so changing for me as I was like working in older institutions, older white institutions, and just having these two kind of worlds to go through and realize what each one can or, and is doing to kind of my well-being. I started off as an assistant towards Growing Room 2019, organizing along with Jay the Future Ancestors event and just supporting the collective and a lot of the big job that it is to bring so many brilliant people together. So since that's about a year ago, and since then, as Jessica's stepped into her role as managing editor of Room Magazine and leaving an enormous legacy and shining such a light for all of us, I've started to take on more of the like general organizational role of admin stuff, but still everything is, I aim to be as collaborative and collective as possible in terms of how we move forward.
Can you share a little bit about the Future Ancestors Youth Retreat Weekend and why it was important for you to organize that, and what were some like big teachings and takeaways from that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kind of Future Ancestors Youth Weekend Retreat, which was in September, was called Reignite, and Jessica came up with that awesome title.
Did I?
Yeah, oh, you're so good.
Sweet. The brilliance.
And yeah, I think, yeah, it was centered around storytelling, but once again, making a space where we could sit together and folks could open up into the storytelling that's being kind of created in a retreat. So we hosted four workshops for folks under 29 years old at Massey Books. So there was sound, kind of like music workshops by Ed Ziu. Adrienne LaRocque did a beading workshop. Selena Bowen led a poetry workshop. And C. Swice and Megan hosted like a dirt and seed nugget workshop. So thinking about like decolonizing dirt into soil. And I think what it did was, because we're urban Indigenous people, there's community spaces to meet people, but they're often, yeah, they're white, they're centered around like drinking, or we find, or forced to find community through work and stuff. But I feel like a big part of coming to these territories and being new here was like, I found so much kinship and connection through spaces that are Indigenous run and for Indigenous people. And so kind of trying to extend what we can for those communities to build more connection for folks who are maybe away from their territory, and to be respectful to those whose territories we're on. And
yeah,
I think of how many barriers folks face up till the ages of 20, mid-20s, so that in order to like actually get to a point where you have the freedom to spend a Saturday afternoon with other people, like that can take 3 decades to get to the point where, yes, you can sit and bead with people. And because so many people, I think, are similar to me or new to these territories,
yeah.
And how do we find connection in these spaces? Yeah.
Yeah, and being able to learn together about the culture, I think being inner city Indigenous people and young people, sometimes displaced from our communities and our families. Like, where do we access mm-hmm. the teachings and where can we learn mm-hmm. together? So having a space like this was really, really cool.
Yeah, and having a space where I felt like it was open in the sense where we weren't there to just listen or learn from, but we were all sort of contributing just by being really mm-hmm. present and having the time to mm-hmm. be really present, because it wasn't just an hour or two beading workshop. Yeah. It was, you know, there were 5-hour days. We were sharing meals together by Indigenous caterers mm-hmm. and that kind of slow time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Was important to realize. To reach people in that way. So I'm really excited that the podcast is getting going, because I think that's something that many of us would have loved to see happen, but it wasn't always possible. So mm-hmm. I'm so stoked for Jay and Carmela, your work in realizing this, and that it's come out as well through a collaboration with other Indigenous folks at CITR, like Unceded Airwaves, that it's growing that way. And I feel like that kind of hands reaching out to broaden the circle, like I'm excited to see that continue in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast, this first episode, is designed to
provide space for people to speak to us and to mm-hmm. the community, because it is really important to take a moment to really acknowledge like what's going on here and to say like this is important and it is worth listening to and learning from.
Mm-hmm. And the importance of ensuring that our listeners get to know about our creation story
mm-hmm.
and how we didn't just instantly start performing like this. We didn't instantly start collectively working. Like, there were bumps, there were hiccups, there were accountability processes, there were conversations.
And there still are.
And there still mm-hmm. are. And it's not just like a group of three people doing it all. Like, I'm stepping away for mm-hmm. a little bit. Yonina has, like, we're inviting other people. We're mm-hmm. ensuring that voices are being listened to, right? So mm-hmm. I think it's been very gorgeous to have you both on, and Yonina earlier, and we'll hear from Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast has been filmed over 3 days.
Hello, everyone. This is Carmela checking in, I guess, post-production. Wait, does that make sense? Like, basically, I'm sitting in my bed right now and I'm editing the podcast and all of our interviews and bringing things to a close, or trying to. And I wanted to acknowledge a few things that were left out during the process of our interviews. One thing that I really want to highlight is the importance of Patricia Massey as a founding member of Indigenous Brilliance, and unfortunately we weren't able to meet with her to have an interview before Growing Room Literary Festival and the publication of our first episode of the Indigenous Brilliance podcast, but Patricia has given me permission to speak on her behalf, so I'm going to be reading out her bio and explaining a little bit about Massey Books, which Indigenous Brilliance is in partnership with. I guess something important to note, I am Afro-Indigenous Nehiyaw. I do not speak the language, so when I am reading out Patricia's Nation, please forgive me if I pronounce it incorrectly. Yes, okay. Patricia Massey is Cree and a member of the Assiniboineau Nation. After 17 years of working at various bookstores and nonprofits, she was inspired to open her own used bookstore that would also serve as an event space for the community. Patricia believes books connect us to our humanity and couldn't imagine doing anything else. Ask her about Indigenous studies, psychology, health, or the rare book room. Massey Books is a bookstore and community space operating in Chinatown since March of 2018. Beginning as an online bookshop in 2015, Massey has quickly grown to a gorgeous brick-and-mortar shop complete with a performance space, art gallery, and 1,500 square feet of ready-to-buy books. An Indigenous-owned and operated business, and member of the Stolo Business Association, Massey Books takes seriously the role of literature and reading in community betterment, connection, understanding, and frequently hosts book launches, readings, art openings, and more. Massey's dedication to community expands outside the bookstore through its work with a number of community-based, non-for-profit, and social justice organizations, including the Writers Exchange, Battered Woman Support Services, Respecting Aboriginal Values and Environmental Needs, Raven, and Voices, Indigenous Women on the Front Lines. As a retail shop located in the downtown East Side, they are sensitive to providing a welcoming and low-barrier space for local community, and are also seeking to deepen their connections in the neighborhood through partnerships with the Downtown Eastside arts organizations and festivals. Ginana Skomitin, thank you in Cree, from Patricia Massey at Massey Books. So thank you to Patricia for allowing us to share her words here on our podcast today. Please do go and check out Massey Books any day of the week. It's one of my favorite bookstores. Actually, it's my favorite bookstore in the city. I think it's pretty cool that it's the first Indigenous-owned bookstore to open up in the area. Yeah, and come out to our next reading event at Massey Books. Actually, though, our next reading is happening at Growing Room, which is a great transition into my next topic of conversation. So, Growing Room is Room Magazine's annual literary and arts festival, a celebration of diverse Canadian writers and artists, which takes place every March on the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples, also known as Vancouver, British Columbia colonially. The festival started in 2017 by Room Collective member Ariel Spence and was continued in 2018 and 2019 with Shalene Knight, and is now directed by the current managing editor, Jessica Johns, who is an Indigenous Brilliance Collective member. The festival is made possible through all the love, labor, and vision of the Room staff and volunteers, and the community of which the organization hopes to represent and reflect. Room Magazine is committed to deepening our learning about inclusion and accessibility, both within the systemic structures of the festival and the creative curation. Growing Room is a celebration, a protest, a reflection, a revisioning, a gathering, a question, and a dream. Before attending Growing Room, check out our community guidelines and zero tolerance policies. We want Growing Room to be a safe space for everyone and strive to do so with continual staff and volunteer anti-oppression training and community engagement. Moreover, we want Growing Room to be a space where historically and institutionally marginalized people are able to fully participate, free from harassment and violence. So check out the community guidelines and zero tolerance policies on roommagazine.com and consider registering for some panels, some readings, some workshops. Registration is all open now. And, excuse me. we wanted to release this podcast before March 11th so that we could give you all some time to register for Growing Room. So I'm going to go ahead and read out a few event descriptions for you all to encourage you, get you hyped on the festival. So opening night is Wednesday, March 11th at 6 p.m. until 11 p.m. at the Fox Cabaret. We're having The Movement, which is our opening night party. It will be hosted by Jay Simpson and Jillian Christmas. So Sunday, March 15th from 1 p.m. till 9 p.m., pay what you can, a recommended $12.50 per event or $30 for an all-day pass, but again, it's pay what you can. Celebrate Indigenous Brilliance's two-year anniversary with events that showcase exceptional creative storytelling, from readings to drag numbers to sound performances. Indigenous Brilliance is a collective approach to realizing resurgence. Come together with the shared desire to raise the voices of Indigenous women, Two-Spirit, and Indigiqueer storytellers. So the first event will take place from 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. It's titled Luminaries, The Way Forward. Our legends are real. Our songs are alive. Recognizing the work of our ancestors, we continue to reawaken sleeping stories and languages with new breath. These artists, Gwen Benaway, Cassandra Blanchard, Helen Knott, and Francine Cunningham, are shining examples of the radiance of Indigenous futurisms. Hosted by Emily Dundas Oak and Molly Cross Blanchard. This event will feature ASL English interpretation. So the second event of the day will be our first film screening by Indigenous Brilliance, which is really exciting. The film we'll be showing is The Body Remembers When the World Broke Open from 4 p.m. till 6:30 p.m.-ish. Two Indigenous women from vastly different backgrounds find their worlds colliding as one of them, Rosie, is fleeing a violent domestic attack. What begins as an urgent and terrifying escape tentatively expands as the women weave a fragile bond in their short time together while navigating the complexities of motherhood and the ongoing legacy of colonialism. This film will be followed by a discussion between Jade Baxter and Justin Ducharme, two Vancouver-based filmmakers who, together with the audience, will reflect in conversation on the presence of this film within our communities and cinematic history and practice. Note, this film is closed captioned. And lastly, the third part of our full-day event is titled Afterglow, Tongue in Cheek, from 7:30 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. again at the Beaumont Studios. The body is a story. Each rattle of the hip is a decolonial love song. The movement of sound and body is proof that Indigenous artistry is reaching towards the stars through contemporary song, dance, drag, and performance. To end the day of Indigenous brilliance, Jody Mariko Okabe, Edziu, Delaney Villain, Kalia Rampinen, and Liz Howard show us the reaches of storytelling. Hosted by Sparrow Terbasket and Sparkle Plenty. Also, genuine apology if I said anyone's name wrong. I know my name gets pronounced wrong very frequently because I have a long last name, which seems to trip people up. Anyway, I get it and apologize in advance if I did not say your name correctly. As we come to a close here, I'd just like to take a moment to acknowledge that Indigenous Brilliance as a collective stands in solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en, Unist'ot'en, Tiendanaga, the Mohawk, the Gitxsan, and all Indigenous youth, Two-Spirit, BIPOC, and allies on the front lines, standing up against Trudeau's government, the Canadian government. The Coastal GasLink project goes directly against the Wet'suwet'en hereditary traditional chiefs' decisions and values to protect the land for the next seven generations. And on behalf of Indigenous Brilliance, I would just like to encourage you all to go out and do your research, stay educated, stay updated, support people on the front lines, people on the land, however you can, whether that's through monetary donations, whether that's through showing up physically, spreading word, educating yourself, do anything you can to stand on the right side of history. Thank you again to everyone who's tuned in and stayed around this long to witness the creation story and journey of articulating our experience as the Indigenous Brilliance Collective. Jay and I are really excited to keep producing content and putting out shorter podcast episodes bi-monthly, hopefully. Please hold us accountable to that commitment. And we really look forward to seeing how this process unfolds. And again, are so grateful to all of you who have witnessed this journey together with us on the airwaves through this podcast. Ginanaskomitin. Hichko CM. Thank you. Nahiao Esquelak, dream and laugh louder than anyone else. Auntie says dreams are messages, and to treat them like cracked sidewalks, like bone-bare trees, like playing crib with your aunties before supper. Be careful. Let it be beautiful, and pay attention. She also says, Nahiak find themselves in ceremony, and I wonder if my ancestors would mind that my ceremony is FaceTiming my nieces and nephew every Sunday. It is kissing their photos and showing up. It is repeating phrases in Nahialian as I clean my kitchen sink. It is wanting to have two wives and one husband and filling them all with so much love they feel it in the webs of their feet. All I want is to make this a future they would recognize. Make my face a face Kukum would hold in her soft hands and say, hello. I've been waiting to see you my whole life.
So good. Yeah. So good. I have the audio file now, so I'm going to re-listen to that when I'm home.
Yes.
But thank you so much. We were so happy to do this collab and to have Indigenous Brilliance be involved with what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this is a collaboration that will go well on mm-hmm. into the Indigenous future.
Yes.
And we also, during playing the episode, Carmela and I got to talking, and we've decided mm-hmm. that you must come back, and we're going to have a conversation about what it means to be mixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just all that comes along with that. So stay tuned. On March 12th, Carmela, our dear friend, is going to come back, have a good chat. And also, just again, we'll see many of you tomorrow at Black Belt Eagle Scout. Keep an eye out if you entered the competition, because we'll be giving information on who is on our list. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Carmela.
Thank you for having me.
Woohoo! Thank you, Indigenous.
For listening.
Yeah. And thank you, Indigenous Brilliance, as always. Please check out Growing Room. It's coming up. Lots of information on Facebook. And you can stay tuned on our on our social media platforms for more information about that.
Sweet.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Bye.